Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shy Show.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. My name's Brian Gerard. I'm alongside Greg Hoyt.
It's Gregory Hoyt.
And Robert Scheid.
It's Robert Scheid, you got it right.
We're the Shy Show.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Greg. Yeah. Greg, we have a guest. Why don't you introduce her?
Are you yelling?
Greg.
It's not my guest.
Greg.
It's Robert's guest. Go ahead, Robert.
She's all of our guests.
Well, she's a return guest.
A return guest.
But it's originally Robert's guest.
You may remember her from such episodes as...
Episode 117.
No. Maybe, actually.
Do you know what episode
right,
it was?
They would nail it. Tauntaun.
Tauntaun.
If you remember Tauntaun. That was a really good one. Lee Granis. Why are you yelling? God.
Why are you yelling?
Sunday morning.
Graniss.
What?
Yes.
Lee Tauntaun.
No. Granite.
Why is there a T in there?
Leighee. Granisse.
That's closest.
Yeah.
Leighee.
You're getting closer.
Leigh. Granisse.
You were right with the L-E-E.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going back.
Lee.
Lee. L-E-E.
Easy.
Like the general.
That's done.
Or the jeans.
We're good.
Or the jeans.
Nice. Yeah.
Or the town in southern New Hampshire that I just drove through last week while I was home.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little obscure. But
Granisse.
C-E.
Granis.
Granis.
Okay, Granusss.
What?
Granisses.
Just stick with A's.
Granass. Granace.
No.
Granas.
Yes! Yeah.
Oh, we made it.
Wait, hey, high five.
Yeah. Don't leave him hanging.
Leigh. Granisse.
You still shaving them bodies?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I remember how much you guys know about me now.
We know a lot about you.
You were shaving bodies into millionths.
Right.
Cutting them into tiny.
So
tiny,
where are they now? Are they in your freezer?
Right.
That's that seems a little creepy. Do you roll them up like fruit roll-ups?
Yes.
Yeah. Sell them to
taquitos.
The children. Yeah.
Taquitos.
Yes, we are in...
Human taquitos.
California.
What do you call it?
Cuticos.
Let's see. I've been traveling to Dallas, Texas a lot.
What?
You guys been to Dallas?
I've been to Dallas several times, and I have a lot to say about Dallas, but I don't want to get into it too much. I think Dallas is not a very nice place. It's one of the darkest places of American history.
Did you have a traumatic experience in Dallas?
The American culture had a traumatic experience in Dallas on November 5th, 1963.
23rd.
Thank you. November 23rd, 1963.
What happened? Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Hey, just took
it's a
minute.
It's a tough day.
It took a second for me to remember.
So, I've been to Dallas a few times, and of course, the first time I was there, even though I didn't want to, I went over to the grassy knoll. And I stood there, and I found myself almost openly weeping. It's still, the energy of just standing there it's a heavy,
you
heavy
know what's
place.
Really quite creepy is they actually have two X's on the road
painted
where the two bullets hit. And every day, most of Dallas commutes by driving across those X's.
Oh,
and
so
to me,
weird.
It's like, that is a bizarre thing to be every
and
day driving
painted,
across the
they have
road
to repaint
markers.
That, by the way.
Why do you think they put an X down? This is my problem with Dallas.
Tourism. Tourism. I mean, why do most people go to Dallas that aren't there for business?
There's no doubt that's a big tourist destination. Yeah. But an X in the road?
I know.
It's awful. Makes me feel...
This is the question, though, because...
It's bad
while
taste.
You say it's tourism, and they can't put a plaque out there. People go out in the middle of the road
Boom.
And read it, right? So they want to find some way to let people know this is
where
it happened. And people are going there to experience it the same way you experienced it, to feel what that... location gives you energy-wise or whatever.
It's not a good energy.
To pay their respects if they want to. Mm. Like a lot of people, you know, are probably going for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there a gift shop nearby?
I think the library, the depository there is like,
Okay.
Of course,
they turned that into a thing.
That's not
I mean, it's a shame, right? Those poor Dallas, Texas people, the first thing you guys think of when I
immediately
say Dallas,
when you think of Dallas, I think of them.
It's like they're forever tarnished. They can't.
Yeah.
As much as the Dallas Cowboys have tried to erase the American lexicon, the American pop culture lexicon.
They only made it worse.
They really did. So you go to Dallas a lot.
That's true.
Why?
You know, I realized as soon as I said that, that was probably not the best thing to say because it's a top secret project.
Oh,
so you'll have to have me back on the show once later. It launches September 2nd.
Oh!
Then we can talk about
Should I look at the sky on September 2nd?
You should, in fact.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Lee!
What is
Give me a heads up when this shit is going down, all right? I don't have a fucking bunker. I'm not sure Lee has a bunker. Lee. Oh, Lee Granis. I work for the government. My bunker is secure. Good luck, everyone. See you on September 3rd. Or not. Fuck
I like that accent. I should take up that accent. I think it suits me.
As well as the wild gesticulations.
I'm Lee Granis. Welcome to my laboratorium.
Laboratorium?
It's a part lab.
So anyway, Lee, what are you doing in Dallas?
Moratorium.
Right, but you can't talk about that.
Right. So what's happening in Dallas?
Next topic.
Last time you were here, you were only on a layover.
That's right. I missed a flight and got the luxury of being a sideshow guest.
Are you impressed with my memory?
I am.
Would you have a job for me?
Absolutely.
What is
Would you
it?
Like a top secret job?
Yes.
In the bunker?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What would it be? Running air filtration?
Possibly.
Watering the plants? What?
Maybe coffee making?
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Do you need a...
Fill out some forms.
Do you need a companion in your bunker?
Oh, yes, actually. It gets lonely in the bunker.
Right, Lee. Yeah.
You do know that Greg now owns a French press.
A coffee maker.
Whoa.
It's called a French press.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
It's kinky.
What? It can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shh. Greg.
Me and Lee are having a
I was going to say Robert.
I'm in the bunker, too.
No, get out of the bunker. Get out of here, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Robert. Brian, you guys get out of here.
Brian, follow me down here.
Me and Lee are French pressing.
Someone needs to water the plant.
I'll do it. That's my job.
What about the air filtration?
That's my job.
I got the air filtration.
No,
hiding under my bed, all three of you.
Sorry, Lee. What happened to your accent? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Were you hiding under my bed? She sounds like an older British man.
Yeah.
Who's been smoking?
So anyway,
you don't smoke, do you?
No.
Who's
Why are you
that?
Yelling?
Who's that out there?
Do you? Do you guys smoke?
Brian does.
I do not.
Brian does.
We had a whole Robert episode never has. On this. No, I never have.
I used to.
Okay.
I almost had a cigarette last night.
No, you didn't.
How do you feel about that this morning?
Almost having it?
Yes. Do you regret it?
I feel glad that I didn't do it. But I... Oh, man.
You love it.
I have an addiction.
You know, this is actually a good little segue.
Okay.
This idea that Lee has never had a cigarette. I've never had a cigarette either. Mm. But Lee and I were talking about something that she experienced back in the day while she was over in what could be called maybe the old country.
Germany?
The oldest.
Jerusalem?
Yes.
That is correct.
Whoa.
Am I not a smart person?
That was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Your first one was Germany, though, so...
Well, you said the old country, and I figured...
Okay.
Oldest.
Maybe. Yeah, the oldest.
Then we said oldest.
Yeah, so we clarified. In any case...
Are you impressed that I said Jerusalem?
No.
Brian's not impressed by you ever.
I know, no matter what I do.
No.
Okay, sorry.
And so you experience something that it goes to this same thing we're talking about. Go ahead and go into this story, because we talked about it a
little bit. Absolutely. We were discussing whether or not you believe in... psychic phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience in Jerusalem that changed how I feel about what's possible.
Awesome. When?
Oh boy.
Yeah. When?
Oh my
this
God.
Would be good for it to talk about. I thought you guys would like this.
So I was doing a school program in Jerusalem, and I was living with Israeli roommates, and one of my Israeli roommates, I was talking with her about what your parents do, and she said, oh, my mom's a psychic. And then, you know, I didn't really know what that meant or know what to believe, but...
Because you're probably thinking, like, okay, what's her 1-800 number?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is this
scam? But yeah, I lived with her for a semester and would just hear all these stories about what her childhood was like. And it included things. She was very embarrassed that her mom had psychic powers as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be in line at the grocery store, and her mom would, like, tap the shoulder of the guy in front of them and say, "You don't need the surgery, it's going to heal." And he would start crying and say, "Thank you," and there'd be a big scene, and she'd be like, "Oh, God, Mom, like, I am so embarrassed. This happens all the time." Like, what? Stop drawing attention to me. And then there was a time when she was in elementary school where they were going on a class field trip to a hiking trail, mm-hmm. and the mom said, "You can't go. Something bad is going to happen on this trip." And the girl's so mad, like, "I was looking forward to a field trip mm-hmm. with my friends."
Yeah, and my psychic crazy mother is not allowing me to go.
And she stayed home, and then one of the children died on the field trip that day.
What?
Yeah. And so, actually, one of the other stories I haven't told Robert yet was she said that the first night she lost her virginity, she came home, and her mom just was sitting in a chair and, like, nodded, like, knew what had happened.
Oh, my
God. And she was just so humiliated and, like, ran to her bedroom.
Holy
cow. It's like,
God.
I hate having a psychic mother. So inconvenient. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And for a long time, the mother didn't know what to do. So it's, the interesting part about what the mom believes is she believes we all have this psychic ability. Mm-hmm. We just don't tune into it. Mm-hmm. Like, all of our brains work this way. We just choose not to listen to it. And so for a while, she just figured everyone had it and nobody talked about it. And then she started to realize maybe not everybody had it. And then she went to these Kabbalah rabbis, like the mystical Jewish rabbis, and mm-hmm. said, like, what do I do? And they said, well, you have a gift. You need to use this to, like, help people. So she was, like, the local village psychic of this town in Israel. And anyway, and I had the chance to meet her. So the roommate's sister was getting married, and I got invited to the wedding, and I was so nervous and excited, like, oh, man, I'm going to go meet this psychic mother. What's it
going
to be like?
You knew the backstory of her, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And hearing all these stories. And I walked in, and she had jet black hair and, like, black eyeliner and, like, bright blue eyes and looked exactly like a psychic on the 1-800 psychic hotline.
Oh, my God. And you're like, oh, boy, here we go.
This is real. Maybe she is what these 1-800 people are basing their look on.
Oh, I bet.
Right?
I bet.
You know? She's all like, Yali, come on over. I'm going to read your palm.
I don't think she was Jamaican.
No, but she's a psychic. And all psychics have to talk in a Jamaican accent.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I will share with you a very personal story what the psychic mother told me.
You have our utmost attention, Lee.
Utmost
attention.
Applaud this.
Please, continue.
So a lot, you have to understand, could have been lost through translation. She didn't speak English, so my roommate was translating. It was also a situation I didn't, like, sit down with her and ask. So I was sitting on a couch, and she was preparing for her daughter's wedding, very distracted, and kind of said a couple things. And so this wasn't like a full-on, I didn't pay for the proper full treatment. What was interesting was she looked at me, and then she continued around the room. And what my roommate told me later is that in the first instant when she looks at you, she just gets all the information. So all of the stuff of, like, crystal balls and reading your palm and hours with you is kind of to make you feel
it's
the show.
Yeah.
So she just knew instantly. And I guess in order to, I don't know if she had to prove it, but she did say, like, a couple family things to me. Like, she said, oh, your father has all the pain in his neck because he takes responsibility for the family on himself and doesn't share it with anyone and feels like it's his job to keep everyone safe. So that's where all his pain comes from, is just burdening that himself. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't know my dad had lots of pain in his neck, but I could see that for sure. And then my mom had very unusual anatomy. She was actually born with two uteruses, which is like a medical kind of miracle. Most doctors have never seen that or heard of that. And so the psychic, through the translation, said, like, oh, your mom has something unusual with her stomach, was how it was translated. And I took that to mean, like, yes, that's true, that her organs are different, you know. And then, this part I was just relaying to Robert this morning, that at the time she said to me, You're very good. Wow, you remind me of someone from the days of the Bible. You're so good. And at the time, I was a virgin, and I was humiliated that she, like, sensed that about me and, like, knew I hadn't had sex yet. And I was also, like, ashamed. Like, I'm not good. There's more to me than that. I am more personality.
Watch it. I'm going to flip a table. I'm going to set something on fire.
Right. Wow. So I was kind of, I was embarrassed and, like, you know, kind of confused by that. But then that was it. Then we went to the wedding, and when we were driving to the wedding, the mom turned around at me and looked at me in the car and just said one sentence, and she just said very intensely, "Don't be too innocent." And that's, and again, through translation, I don't know if those are the exact words.
Yeah.
And then that's like the prophecy that has haunted me since then. And perhaps you of the Shide Show can interpret that for me.
I think she wants you to pick up smoking.
Okay, so she just left you with that, and you were like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, at the time I was worried, like, oh, am I going to get into a cab and get abducted, and I need to be more, you know, less naive about who I travel.
Oh, wow.
And so for a long time I was worried about that. But now it's been, you know, over 10 years since this prophecy, maybe 15. So
Have you run into any problems with being too innocent?
I can tell you what I think it is.
Okay. Go ahead, and then I will share some thoughts.
Third, I will wrap it all up. And
excellent.
All
honestly, I think it's don't lead a sheltered life. And I think whether or not this prophecy had led to this, to these decisions you made in your life or not, I don't know. But you are a regular at Burning Man, which is an experience that I think a lot of people don't do. And that's somebody who is, you know, wears the pearl necklace and serves dinner with pearls. That whole thing, you know, that innocence, that's not who you are. They wouldn't go to Burning Man. You know what I mean?
Who's that?
So I'm
that person. What the Doris Day?
I'm fulfilling my prophecy by going to Burning Man. I like that interpretation.
I see it that way. I see the don't be so innocent in life choices.
Don't be sheltered.
There. That's my interpretation.
Yeah, and mine's not too far off it. I think what she probably saw in you at that point was you, which you already, like, look at what you do. You work for top secret government officials doing crazy things in an underground bunker somewhere in Dallas that you'll explain to us at some point after September 2nd.
After it's too late.
Yeah.
And I think probably what they saw, you were probably on track to do anyway, but she just felt compelled to say it, where you have a lot of, like, your appearance seems like you could be innocent. You could be that quiet little wallflower. And don't do that, because there's a lot of life that you... There's a lot of life for you to live and for you to give back to the world of what you're doing. And I feel like you've done it. And whether you've done it consciously or subconsciously. And it's like, kind of get dirty. Like you are. You go to Burning Man. You rip your clothes off and run naked with your shoes on fire every year. At least
is that
for
really,
a
week. Like is everyone. That what happens?
That's what happens at Burning Man. And you go have sex with like 100 people at once.
What? I didn't know that.
Lee, is that true?
Of course.
Yeah, what? See? Lee knows.
What? Greg has just booked his first flight.
You guys thought the bunker was fun.
Yeah, the bunker.
So, I think that's more of like, don't be too innocent. Is like that naivete. Is that
word? You like
that's
that
a good word. You used
you just
a
found
word.
A real word.
You should look it up though, like what it means.
I just did it. I just used it right.
Talking yeah. Okay.
Is you just don't have any of that. And I think that was...
I love that you're saying I've fulfilled this prophecy.
I feel like you have.
Yeah.
You're living into that.
Spin on the take of it. I'm much harsher in my own mind.
No. I feel like you're doing it. But by what... And I don't know everything about you. Just from what I do know about you, I feel like you are living into that prophecy of like, I'm not. You're not doing that.
Interesting.
Greg is anxious.
All right, here we interpretation. Go.
So, don't be too innocent comes after she's telling you that you're a biblical figure, which is like the Virgin Mary. So, like, that's you put I'm the Virgin Mary on it.
Yeah.
I'm curious about whether or not you, when she said that, were like, holy shit, that's what I've been thinking. I'm being too innocent. I'm afraid of, like, the freak flag flying a little bit. Is that true?
Interesting. Good question. I don't think so. Again, at the time, I interpreted it as something terrible is going to happen.
Right. Oh, yeah. So you were thinking it was, like, calamitous.
I thought, like, I will be, you know, attacked.
See, for me, I don't see that. I get why you would see that.
Yeah.
when I first met you, I was like, oh, this is a very nice person. You know what I mean? You have a very, like, nice air.
I think I look... Well, mm-hmm. I look a lot younger. Mm-hmm. I look very quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, very polite.
Yeah,
and
totally. So that makes sense. There's that. But I don't see that thing that she said to you as being a thing about an event. I see it more as her being like, don't be too innocent. Like, don't be too... Don't hold yourself too much of an account, in a sense.
Right.
Maybe that you have, a really harsh self-criticism.
That's actually how I've interpreted it later in my life, is like, make sure I show up and am myself and don't just try to please everyone.
Certainly.
Like, stand up for what I believe in, and those things are challenging for me. So in that case, the prophecy is fairly, you know, important.
And to use Greg Hoyt terms, I think what she was saying when she turned around to you and said that one sentence in the car where she was like, go ahead and raise that freak flag and let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
And live your life in that regard.
Did Greg Hoyt coin that term?
No, not at all.
No.
I just
use it. It's just part of his vocabulary.
He uses it.
I use it in a way. Frequently. The freak flag.
Isn't that Lady Gaga who coined that term?
I don't think that's coined?
Did she coin it? She
no, I don't think anybody coined it.
Let your freak flag fly.
The freak flag, where I first heard it, was in a movie. It was that Family Stone movie? Yeah, it was Family Stone, like a Christmas movie. Yeah? So you were like, I'm not watching this.
I don't watch Christmas movies.
No.
I watch Jewish holiday movies all the time.
What?
I don't know.
No.
They don't make them, really.
No, they don't. Why don't they make Jewish holiday movies?
Nobody would watch it.
There are a lot of... Okay, that's really weird.
The menorah fell over. Who will repair it?
No, but my thing about the freak flag is just, I guess, the sense, the idea of just being yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, in that way, that's kind of the best prophecy anyone could get.
I think so. And you probably, again, I just to reiterate, because I like to be redundant.
That's true.
You probably already had those tendencies, and she was just there enforcing it for you at a very influential
age.
Or
maybe there will be a moment in my life where I have to make a decision, and the like Obi-Wan style face will appear and
don't be too innocent,
and I will like change what I would have otherwise done.
Maybe
I think because that's hard to know how much to meddle with, you know, people's paths.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just wanted you to start smoking.
Yeah.
That's probably what.
Have you ever smoked? You never smoked?
I think once.
Did you?
She has. Oh,
well, you've been to Burning Man. Are you doing tons of drugs at Burning Man?
No, I'm
You're sober.
I'm the only sober.
You drink?
Burner. I do, but not very much.
Okay. So you're like the only sober person in a sea of complete hallucination and madness.
You guys should try it sometime.
Being sober at Burning Man?
Just going.
I know.
When are you going? Are you going this year?
Yeah, always. This will be my 7th year in a row.
Dude, you're on it.
I'm not innocent.
Do you wear your shirt? You don't wear your shirt. I can tell you don't wear your shirt.
Oh, am I nude? No, I don't get naked to Burning Man, but it's, you know, it's the... hot and the dust is everywhere, and if you really get naked, you have to know what you're doing.
Because otherwise, it's going to be like.
Destroys your body.
Yeah. Burning Man. Tauntaun. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
And goodbye.
And we'll see you on September 3rd.
Who's here? We'll hope we're all still here. I'm going to look at the sky on September 2nd.
Do it. You'll be really happy.
What the hell? What's happening? On behalf of Robert Shai, Gergie Hoyt, I'm Brian Gerard. Thank you, Lee.
It's a pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure.
We're the Shai Show.
Yay!
Tom Tom.
Tom Tom.
Tom Tom.
Boo.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I've got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see. That she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make